Welcome to IFA Talk, IFA Magazine's weekly podcast. IFA Talk is for professional investors only. Thank you.
Thanks very much for joining us for the latest episode of IFA Talk, IFA Magazine's weekly podcast, where we talk to people who matter about the things that matter in the world of financial services. I'm Brandon Russell, online writer at IFA Magazine, and joining me on the podcast this week is our editor, Sue Whitbread.
Hello, everyone. And as Brandon said, welcome to this week's IFA Talk podcast, where we're going to be talking about protection. Now, and this is my opinion, but this is often a poor relation in the financial planning process. But why is that? Well, I think somehow it's not given the attention and the importance that it deserves for clients to be properly supported, particularly that is if the unexpected does happen and the proverbial hits the fan. So Rich Horner is head of individual protection at MetLife UK, and we're delighted to welcome him on the IFA Talk podcast today to talk to us about this important topic of protection, protecting clients, and we're not just talking about life cover either. So Rich, thank you so much for joining us. Can I ask you to just introduce yourself, tell us a bit about you and a bit about MetLife too, for those who may not know that much about the company?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Brandon. Thanks, Sue. Yeah, I'm a dad of two from Doncaster, so that's the personal information. But the business stuff is I've been at MetLife for about 14 years now, working in the protection market for 8 years of that. So I started off in wealth management. What we do at MetLife is a little bit different. That's why, you know, you mentioned we're not talking just about life cover today. That's, we like to think within the individual protection market, MetLife, we're not just about life. We're trying to do something different that can help grow the market, provide more cover for customers at the time they need it. And working for MetLife, a lot of people in the UK may not know us, but we're a huge firm, over 150 years old. And fun fact about MetLife is we were actually the first insurance company to pay a claim on the Titanic. So in terms of history and heritage of paying claims and being in the protection market, we've got a good one.
Excellent. Well, I didn't realise that.
There you go.
Thank you very much, Rich.
Rich, thanks so much for joining us today. Obviously, as you said, MetLife is a brand that most of our listeners will be familiar with. But I wonder what areas you'd highlight as key things that you do differently when it comes to protection.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think for us, we've made a business in the UK by being a little bit different in the individual. We've got an employee benefits business, and what we do there, we've got some innovations there too, but I'll focus on individual protection. That's my market. We try to complement what's in the existing protection market. So for years, life, critical illness, income protection has been sold and advised on. And don't get me wrong, they are fantastic products, but we know that there's still, you know, a protection gap in the market. You know, when we look at the stats from last year, probably overall premiums went up, but policy count went down. We saw some brilliant growth actually within the industry. If you look at kind of the stuff that comes out from Gen Re and Swiss Re, in the income protection market, but overall we probably saw a policy count down and nowhere near enough growth to fill the protection gap that's been talked about for years. So where we work at MetLife, we've got a mantra of protection made simple. We try to design and implement and launch slightly differentiated products that fit core customer gaps. So we really understand who our customers are. So we've got accident and health policies, which cover people for sicknesses and broken bones, and they're for families, they're for people who are blue collar workers, they're for people with active lifestyles. And so we know exactly where we fit, and what they do well is sit alongside existing products in the market. So not trying to change anything, trying to give advisors something new and different to talk about with their customers that can either provide alternate cover or complementary cover to what's already there in the market.
Well, that's interesting. And you've given us some stats there, which, you know, paint quite an interesting picture of where things are in the protection market. So could we just progress on with that in a way and thinking about what's going on in protection now? I'd be interested to hear what you thought are the main things that advisors need to know about and some of the trends that you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, a great trend is income protection growth. And I think that for me, that's off the back of COVID, where people have become very aware of their own health, but not just in terms of protecting themselves against death, protecting themselves against the things that can impact them now. So people realize they can be off work for a month or two or three. And when people don't have long-term savings to dip into, an income protection policy, something that fills a short-term gap, can be very important. And I think that the growth there is something that really pleases me. And I think as an industry, through groups like Income Protection Task Force, a lot of work's gone into that. So that's fantastic to see. And I'd like to think that consumer duty as well is kind of going to be a catalyst for further innovation in the market. So I don't think people can ignore the protection conversation anymore. What consumer duty is saying is, if you have a customer sat in front of you as an advisor and you've done your fact finding, you understand what needs they have, if you've got products that fit those needs, you should be having those conversations. So consumer duty for me is a very positive thing to help drive innovation. And I think if we were to look at the protection generally, I think we probably do lack a little bit of innovation. It was actually in 1983, so I was a very, very, very young boy in 1983, when critical illness was launched. So critical illness is a brilliant product, but last year it was 40 years old. And really, since critical illness was launched, there hasn't been any, you know, major changes in products. So we've now got totally different needs of our customers. We've seen massive technological development. We've seen multiple regulatory changes, with the most recent one being consumer duty, but still the same products: life, critical illness, income protection, and then other products as well that we've always had. So I think as an industry, what I'm hoping and what I believe will happen, what we're trying to do, is bring new products to market that can give more options for customers, more options for advisors. So give customers the benefits from the claims they pay, and give advisors who are running business more commercial opportunities to drive value in their own business as well, by doing the right thing for the customers.
Good. And it's protecting those clients against those unforeseen events too, as you say, with things like protection and critical illness, which really are invaluable.
Oh, totally.
You are listening to IFA Talk, IFA Magazine's weekly podcast. Subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to be notified as soon as a new episode becomes available. And follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter and Instagram at IFA Magazine.
In terms of the advisor's client proposition, how can you support that through advice process innovation and product innovation? Also, I wonder if by doing that, you can help advisors increase the commercial value of their businesses.
Yeah, I think we can. So I think by having those rounded conversations around all the needs of a customer, it's a better outcome for the customer. But from an advisor, the more propositions you're able to talk about, the more diversification you'll be able to build in there, the better. The way I actually see, and I know a lot of listeners to your podcast maybe come from a wealth management background where I am, I actually see protection advice in a very similar way to wealth management. So in wealth management, we always talk about the benefits of diversification, having, you know, different asset classes in there so that customers are protected against a range of risks. I think with protection, what we too often see is one product being the solution. Maybe someone gets life cover and then the rest of the discussion doesn't happen. But that's only covering one. It's a risk we all face. Let's not forget, you know, we are all going to die, but it's only one risk. But if you can have that conversation to talk about life cover, income protection, critical illness, what we do, protection for kids, or protection against broken bones and accidents, you're actually building a balanced protection portfolio, building that protection puzzle that can protect customers in a range of circumstances that they're going to face. And obviously by doing that, the customer outcome's great. They're covered against more risks. But for every discussion area there that's covered, you know, that is a commercial opportunity for the advisor. So we talk a lot about the protection puzzle or the protection portfolio, and thinking about all the risks that a customer face, and making sure that the right products are offered to cover all those risks. Or obviously there's affordability. So within what's affordable, making sure there's a broad range of cover offered for the customer.
That's interesting. And I really like what you said there about the benefits of diversification. That really does resonate with me big time. And Rich, we are rapidly reaching the end of this podcast. And I'd like to get your thoughts before we finish up today about the value, the value to the customer that you see in terms of actual claims. And I know a very good friend of mine 20 odd years ago had a massive brain hemorrhage, had maximum income protection policy, and still to this day, you know, is so thankful that he actually had that policy, because it's been such a game changer for him and his family. And So I wondered what your thoughts are. It's not just about providing life cover when someone died, for when they died.
No, and situations like that can be, you know, that having that protection in place and the peace of mind that will provide is just huge. And the claims that are paid by the industry are fantastic. You know, this is where we have to get away from the bias of the customer. Sometimes they think that as an industry, we don't pay claims, but we know we pay, looking at ABI, 98% of them. And the claim for us is the proof the product works. So at MetLife, we're extremely proud of what we're doing. In fact, we're generally one of the first firms to release our claims stats on an annual basis. So we've already sent ours out. So for 2023, I know we've paid 23,942 claims, which is a huge amount. So that's, albeit ours are maybe for broken bones and hospitalization. So they're not huge payouts like you would get for a critical illness or a death claim. For the customers we look after, where they may have limited savings, that injury or that illness might stop them working for a month or two. That can be the difference between paying the rent or mortgage or helping their kids through a broken bone and buying physio and you know, who knows what the other consequences be if the savings aren't there. So every single claim, however big or small it is going to have an impact on that customer. And that's where we really try to focus. So our latest product innovation is actually driven by some of what we've seen on our claims. So on our product called Everyday Protect, which covers broken bones and hospitalization, you can add on children's cover on there to cover kids against broken bones and hospitalization. We actually know from those almost 24,000 claims, we paid just over 6,000 claims to kids. So the claims, knowing that that is a market that needs protection, our latest product that we launched in summer last year is a product called Child Shield, which is designed to cover kids. It's a standalone product to cover kids for some serious illnesses they may suffer with. So that'd be burns, meningitis, some cancers, but also broken bones and hospital stays. So the types of things that happen when you're in a trampoline park as a child, or, you know, that's what my kids do anyway, you know, going around on their pogo sticks and playing football. So the claim, I suppose what I'm saying there is the claim's really important. And actually looking at the claims where customers are seeing value from us has enabled us to think about the product innovation, where we can launch a standalone children's product for parents to cover their risks. It tells you exactly where you need to provide the value, because that's where we're paying the claims now.
And I guess for those parents, they would, if in the instance of that child becoming ill or not able to go to school, they need to take time off work in order to be there for that child, particularly if they're self-employed or, you know, aren't being paid for the work that they would then lose then.
Yeah, exactly. And the product itself has been built, going back to what I said at the start about being complementary, it's very cost effective. So you can provide cover for £6 or £11, and it provides cover for every. So if someone's got four kids, one policy covers all their kids. So if someone's buying a life policy, and you can add the £6 or £11 on, you're providing that cover for the family, but then cover for the kids, and building that, it sits within the protection portfolio. So we've had a great feedback on it. I'm actually policyholder two. Myself, I was one of the sample. I was one of the first test cases, so I hold policy number two of MetLife Child Shield. Thankfully, I haven't claimed on it yet. Kids have been sensible. In the meantime, I've broken my foot. They haven't.
Well, I'm sure you're very proud at being policyholder number two.
I am.
I hope that your track record of remaining without a claim continues.
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, Rich, that does bring us to the end of today's episode. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast and discussing what, like I said, this is such an important topic, but is often overlooked. Thanks must also go to our listeners for tuning in, and be sure to keep an eye on the IFA Magazine website for next week's episode.
IFA Talk is for investment professionals only. All material has been carefully checked for accuracy, but no responsibility can be accepted for inaccuracies. Whatever appropriate, independent research and whatever necessary legal advice should be sought before acting on any information contained in this podcast. And value of investments and income from them can go down as well as up. You may not get back the amount you originally invested.